Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Stud, Frosty Rucker,
the Trojans back in front,
and LAFB founder Ryan Zyrud on the Believe Podcast Network and LAFBnetwork.com. This is your destination for Los Angeles football.
What's up, Los Angeles? It's your boy, Ryan Zyrud, along with Mia here, and we're here to talk to you about my bookie, the LA Football Show, and the LA Football Network as a whole. Are proud to be partnered with mybookie.ag. It is the best sports book in the business. Head to mybookie.ag today. Use the promo code LAFB and you're going to double your deposit. Got a great slate of games this weekend coming up. I know the Rams are on a bye, but you got the Chargers facing the Steelers. You got some other primetime matchups that you can parlay along with player props and other sports, of course, if you're into the NBA, NHL, or whatnot. Once again, go to mybookie.ag, use my promo code LAFB to double your deposit. Tell them everyone at the LA Football Network sent you. And now, for myself and for Mia, let's get on with the show. All right, Los Angeles. Well, it's healing time after a brutal, brutal loss to the San Francisco 49ers, the fifth one in a row in the McVay era. To Kyle Shanahan. It was a tough game. We're going to get all into it, but I'm really excited to welcome on to the LA Football Show. And we've got a fun announcement here in a minute as well, but Brittany McReynolds is going to be joining me. Many of you probably know her on Twitter as Brittany Betts, but what's going on, Brittany? How you doing? Thanks for joining me.
Hi guys. Hi Ryan. Thanks for having me. So excited to be here.
Absolutely. No, you know, you're one of the diehard Rams fans. Got a great following on Twitter. You know your stuff. You love football. So excited to have you on and talk about this game. I wish it was a better game to talk about, but it'll be fun to get your perspective. So before we, you know, kind of announce, let's just get into the game. So what were you doing last night? What were you doing for the game? How are you watching it? How are you taking in this horrible loss?
Oh my goodness. So last night was the first night that I actually met someone from Rams Twitter, two people actually, Angel and Paul. So nice. We met up at our house. We were so excited to finally meet. Yeah, shout out to the Ramley. We met up somewhere local out here in Santa Clarita, and we were just really excited to get together. Obviously, the outcome wasn't what we wanted. yeah, it was a brutal, brutal game to watch, you know.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's unfortunate, and obviously then the questions start coming in about, you know, McVay versus Shanahan and why he has his number, and, you know, some of those, I think we can look back to, like, past Rams years when, you know, the Jeff Fisher years, which the Rams were not good football teams, but they had Pete Carroll's number. Like, they were really good against the Seahawks for some reason, And that was kind of what the Rams fans held their hat on. Like, well, we got the Seahawks. So the Niners fans kind of do that to us now. It's like, we've been a winning organization every year with Sean McVay. We're always there in the playoffs. I know the Niners have that one good year in 2019, but other than that, they've been a pretty bad team, but they beat us for some reason. Just from your perspective as a fan or as you watch the games, or what is it, do you think, that Kyle Shanahan does that he just has McVay's number?
I really don't know. I don't think that McVay is getting out-coached per se. I think that he's just overthinking it himself. I mean, realistically, I thought that we were going to come in and be what the 49ers were on offense. You know, it was crazy how they were pounding the rock. It was crazy how they were just sustaining drives and moving the ball, and we couldn't get anything done. And it was like, Sean just kept trying to prove different things, you know, that trickery before the half, like going into the half. It's like that guy is really in his head. He must have like a Shanahan punching dummy or something, because it is bad.
It's like voodoo or some magic, because I say this all the time, that coaches in general, not just Sean, but coaches in general just overcoach sometimes. They overthink and they get away from what they're good at and try to like prove this, like, I don't know if it's a macho complex or what, but try to prove something that they're not. And he does it every time against specifically the Niners. He does it other weeks as well, unfortunately. Still think he's one of the best coaches in the game. But yeah, they get away from the run game. I mean, the Niners, like, old school smash mouth football. The Rams ran it like, what, 11, I think. And that's just not a recipe for success against a solid defense that the Niners have. I mean, that's kind of what it is, right? It's really all it is to it, is just overcoaching, I think.
Exactly. Just thinking too much into it, not trying to pound the football and just, you know, playing, getting the run game going so that you can open up the pass. You know, I've been saying it for weeks. I get it. McVay has this shiny new toy. He wants to show off Stafford. He wants to show off the plays that they've worked up. That's great. But I mean, we got to get that pass, you know, opened up, run the ball. You know, this season is obviously disappointing. We don't have Cam Akers, but we still have a run, you know, a run committee, and get those legs moving and pound the rock, move the ball, open up that RPO. I think that the O-line, they played decent last night. I think offensively, you know, the struggles were just with a lot of miscues. You know, I think that over time, the chemistry is going to produce between, you know, obviously Odell and even I call him Bisco. I can't pronounce his last name, but he stepped in to take Bobby Tree's position at wide receiver too. So, you know, he's going to be playing a lot more, but there were a lot of drops last night. Yeah. So I didn't like that. I didn't like the offensive miscues there. Defensive side of the ball is a whole nother story. How much time do we have?
We'll get to that. we'll get to that. Ben Skowronek, I believe is how you say it. It was basically his starting debut as a rookie, and he looked like a rookie. You know, you could tell there was nerves there. Yeah. Had some drops, had some miscues. You know, I think long term
he'll
be okay.
He's not in the end zone.
Yeah, crucial. I know. And Tyler Higbee had some bad drop, one leading to a pick six, obviously. So just a lot of miscues overall in offense. The thing that frustrates me, and I know they got down early. They were down what, like 21-7, pretty early on. But in the running game, Daryl Henderson averaged 6.2 yards per carry. Sony Michel averaged 5 yards per carry. So they were very efficient. And, you know, if the passing game wasn't being prolific, even though you're behind, like, why not do the thing that's actually working, which was the running game? And they only ran the ball like, I don't know, like 9 times, 10 times total in the game. So I think if they would have done that, may have opened things up. Yeah, exactly. And that's what they did against the Titans. You know, I've talked a ton about going back to last season when they ran the ball 30 plus times, they were like an undefeated team. Anytime they got away from that, things got out of control, out of hand. They weren't able to sustain drives. You know, they started becoming predictable, and we see that again. But let's talk about Matthew Stafford, Brittany. And Twitter had a meltdown last night, per usual, after a Rams loss. I mean, what's new? But then you get the comparisons of Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford and whatnot. What do you think from watching? What's been his issues these last 2 weeks?
You know, I don't know what's going on in his head. I think there's a lot of pressure just like with the media and just like all the changes in the locker room, you know, but again, he's a veteran quarterback, you know? So when it's all said and done, you got to shake all that off. You got to perform when it's time. Just looking back at last week's game, you know, he didn't take that safety. He threw a pick. He said after the game, he spotted him 14 points. He did the exact same thing this game. He just seemed a little bit panicky to me. It seemed like he just kind of would launch the ball just whenever. Like I said, a lot of miscues. His chemistry with Odell obviously isn't there. That first interception, I actually missed that. I was driving. So on the radio, I heard them say that he had threw the ball. Odell was running up the sideline, and I guess the pick got thrown maybe up top. And I guess he thought Odell was going to cut inside or whatever the case was. So I just kind of chalked that up to, you know, first game. The chemistry isn't there. Yeah. But seeing him, he looked really frustrated. He looked like, you know, this isn't the way that he expected this offense to be. I think that the O-line didn't help him last week, but this week they came out, they did what they were supposed to do. The crucial penalty from that we got a little bit worth when they blew the whistle. And, you know, like, I think that that just kind of really changes the momentum, you know, of the game. And once we get behind, it's just really hard to catch up.
Yeah. And that's another thing with this offense. You wouldn't think that should be an issue, like getting behind and the game's over almost, it seems like, every time. And I think it's just because they become too one-dimensional, even though when you have those weapons and when defenses know exactly what you're going to do and what you're going to throw at them, they can stop you every time, which we saw last night. And the first pick you talked about, and this is just kind of the head-scratching thing with Stafford, is like, yes, Odell kind of stopped on his route. There was a miscommunication there, but he still heaved it up into double coverage. He had probably, and I know he's not a running quarterback, but he had, you know, 20 yards of wide open space that he could have just ran for a first down, slid, or even if he didn't get to the first down, if he was that slow, you could have ran 7-8 yards, positive yards, slide. You know, I think it was only going to be third down at that point. So then you live to fight another day. So stuff like that. And then later in the game, Brittany, similarly, at this point, the game was out of reach, but they're in the red zone going down to score. He runs out of the pocket to the left, runs like 4 yards past the line of scrimmage, and then like backpedals and still throws it. Like there's something in his psyche right now that seems a little messed up, right?
Yeah, like that isn't what a vet quarterback, you know, is supposed to be doing. You know, he was already past the line of scrimmage, so we got the penalty there. But even there, you were like 2 yards away from the goal line. Yeah. Just fall right there. He didn't want to run it in. He didn't want to take that hit. Whatever the case was, I thought that he had a blocker there and a hole, could have got it in there. Okay, he didn't do it. Fall at the two, staff. Like, get us a little bit closer.
Yeah, he could have literally just stepped out of bounds and it's still a five-yard game. And you stop the clock. And so I don't know if he's – I think – and this is something that no one's really talked about. And there's a lot of – obviously, the quarterback position is super mental, but a lot of it is like a psyche, like a mentality as well, not just like actual mental – like learning the playbook and whatnot. There's like a mentality. When he played in Detroit for those 13 seasons, he was the Detroit Lions. I know there were years with Megatron and he had some good weapons, but he had the mentality every week that they were going to win or lose based on what he did. The team was on his back. He had to play well, had to take over games if they're going to win. He has like 33 come from behind victories in the fourth quarter because he would have to hit the team on his deck. It seems like now he's on the Rams with Sean McVay, with these new weapons, but he still has that mentality of like, this is all on me to make things happen. When in reality, it's not. Like, he has all these weapons. He has, for the most part, good play calling, good scheme. Like, when it all is working right, has a good running game, good offensive line. So I think when we kind of break it down, when you look at the psychology of it all, it's almost, he needs to step back and say, I need to just do my job. I don't need to do 11 or 10 other players' jobs. And when he does that, like we saw in some weeks, when he was just out there, threw it 28 times, you know, had 21 completions, great efficiency, 2 touchdowns, 300 yards. That's when this offense is going to click. But when he starts getting that mentality like, oh, we're down, I got to play hero ball here, be the Matthew Stafford of Detroit. So I think it's just going to be breaking him out of that. Do you kind of see that as well?
No, I totally agree with you. I think that, you know, coming into the situation, that was his mentality. And I think that that is hard to break, especially under Sean McVay, because Sean McVay for so long kind of had to steer the ship with Jared Goff and kind of, you know, pretty much help him read defenses. And like, it's kind of like they both are coming from situations where, you know, one had to fend without the other, and now you put them together. And for instance, I'll see plays where like, I know Matt Stafford has like really good quarterback awareness. His quarterback IQ is there where he can break down the defense. And like, you see him like step back in the pocket and he's looking at the defense. Okay, nothing's there. He's scanning for a play. But lately I've been seeing him like look for a specific target. And like, you'll see, you know, Higbee wide open out on the flat. And we're like, second and one, third and one. And he's launching it, trying to get it to Cooper Kupp. And it's like triple coverage right there. Or like, they know that it's going to Cooper Kupp, you know, and we don't just take like the short yards. And so I think a lot of it has to do with both Sean and Matt Stafford's mentality. I think that if he does just kind of play his role and just let everything else fall into place as far as the offense, it'll work. But I think that Sean kind of has to let him also kind of control some of the offense as well. Not obviously not relinquish it all to him, but as a veteran quarterback, I expect him to make decisions and know how to, you know, make the right necessary moves if a play is breaking down, that kind of thing. And I just, he just hasn't been looking like that lately.
Yeah. It's like they're both coming from bad, broken relationships, and then they're falling into those old patterns. And it's like, this is a new thing now. This is a new relationship that we're building together. Do what each of you do well and don't do what you don't do well. And they're trying to like overlap and supersede those. So now with the bye week, hopefully they get that figured out. I think they will. I still, you know, I'm a much more even keel person anyway, but I'm like, okay, Matthew Stafford is an upgrade over Jared Goff. That's just a fact. He hasn't played well the last 2 weeks. They're still 7-3. It's not like they're like this dumpster fire. I think they'll get it right. I think he'll be a solid MVP candidate again. You know, 3 weeks from now, we can put this all behind us. But the other issue now, which we'll get to, Brittany, and wrap this up here soon, is the defense. And, you know, overall, I think this defense has gotten more hate than I think it deserves. But last night, they were definitely not a good defense. They could not stop throwing it at all. You know, Raheem Morris, who has gotten a ton of flack from this fan base, whether it's justified or not. But for some reason, specifically looking at last night, you're not putting your best corner, Jalen Ramsey, on their best receiver. You're still moving them all over. And Deebo Samuel ends up just tearing you apart. So what's just your opinion on, not even, we'll get into last night in a minute, but just overall on Raheem Morris. Do you think he's as bad as people on Twitter and Rams fan base say, or do you think he deserves a little more credit than he's been getting?
Man, oh, it sucks to be
Raheem. Is yours. You have all the time you want.
Oh my goodness. Listen, Rams Twitter, when it comes to Raheem Morris, they are ruthless, like relentless. Mm-hmm. They are ripping him a new one. Now, do I think that it's justified? I think that he was coming into a big situation. He has some big shoes to fill. Granted, the Rams lost a lot of assistance, you know, as far as their coaching staff, on defense. We still have the same guys, you know, like when you look at that roster, you're like, I can coach that roster. Anybody can coach that roster. But I think that it's really hard. Like last night, it was hard to watch Jalen Ramsey just be so frustrated. You know, like we were playing soft zone coverage and like I wanted Jalen to be covering Deebo. Like Kittle, somebody, like they're picking us apart. Jimmy G didn't have to do anything but get them the ball. And it just felt like Raheem wasn't adjusting. And I think that over the course of the weeks, I don't think that he necessarily has been adjusted. I just think that the defense has fallen together and it started to play like this defense has been expected to play. Schematically, do I think that he has it together? I don't know. I think that I want to still give him time. I don't want to just say get rid of him. But again, he has some really, really big shoes to fill coming in, you know, taking over for Staley and, yeah, hopefully we can figure it out. I think that we played really well last game. This game was just, I really think it was just one of those games where the Niners just have our number. You know, yeah. I'm hopeful that the bye is going to give us a little bit of rest, you know, going into the next game against Green Bay. But that's a must win. We got to figure it out there.
Yeah, I know, which we can talk about in a minute. But you go from Kyle Shanahan to Matt LaFleur, who are two guys that know Sean McVay very well, and Sean McVay doesn't seem to do good against his, you know, colleagues. But, you know, with Raheem Morris, it's tough because I see where the anger stems from and I see where the disapproval and disappointment stems from. But I also think it's a little unfair when you look at just the facts. You know, coming into last night's game, the Rams were the number one rated defense by Pro Football Focus. They were top five in almost every statistical category. And they've had their miscues and some schematic woes, like you said, but overall they've been better than given credit for. But that being said, they've also beat up on bad teams and haven't performed well against good teams and good offenses. We saw the Cardinals, you know, take on. So it's one of those, okay, well, how good really are they? What's the measuring stick they're going against? How much is Raheem Morris actually doing? And how much is it just they have a lot of talent that's making up for it? So last night, I think, was a big eye-opener, and you mentioned it perfectly. It's just the amount, it's the adjustments. I think during the week, they have good game plans. I think they have good practices. It's not like the guy doesn't know football. I mean, he knows what he's doing. But I think it's that in-game, what made Brandon Staley so great and still so great is what he would change, not just half to half, but series to series, move guys around, have different, you know, schematically players play in different situations. And we haven't really seen Coach Morris do that yet. And I would implore, I'm sure Sean McVay will have this conversation. Like, I don't know why it didn't happen last night earlier, but like, why is our best player who we gave up two first round picks for not covering their only threat? Well, not only that, they have George Kittle too, but their biggest threat. Like, let's take him out of the game, shut it down. That gives us the best opportunity to win. So I think moving forward, hopefully we'll see that. I don't think Raheem Morris is going anywhere. People are saying fire him during the bye week. That's not going to happen. This is a 7-3 team. You're not going to totally shift the whole dynamics of the defense after one really bad game. Do you think they should do that or no? You're like, okay, let's just see what they do during the bye week and see what he can improve on.
Listen, I have been pretty critical, but when it's all said and done, as far as decisions to be made, I think that this team is headed in the right direction. I think that, again, adjustments, you know, it has to be on the very next play. Like, so, you know, people are frustrated because we're not figuring it out. We're losing games. We've lost three. Okay. But I think that this is, again, like you said, a real eye-opener, and it's something that we're going to figure out. When they review that film, I really hope that they touch on that that fourth and sixth touchdown, because that one was huge. Like, it was just like a slap in the face, just a nail in the coffin.
Yeah. I think my biggest critique on Raheem, and I don't know how you feel about this, and I love Nick Scott. He's actually one of the first interviews I ever did while podcasting. Awesome, awesome guy. I think he's a great player, phenomenal special teamer, and a good safety. But to me, Terrell Burgess, who I've also interviewed, has the potential to be. Obviously, we're not at practice every day, but he's a guy that I think can have a real impact on this team. And he's getting no reps. He can't even get on the field. And that's something I would really ask Coach Morris, like, talk to me about this. Because we see Nick Scott out there instead of Terrell Burgess. What's going on here? Is it a political thing? You like the player better, or what's going on with that?
I don't know. I mean, I remember, you know, some weeks back when David Long Jr. wasn't really, you know, performing, and they were going to switch him out with Rochelle. And they were just talking about how, you know, that's just the mindset of our guys. Like, if one guy isn't necessarily performing well, mm-hmm. then we have other guys ready to go. So I don't know if maybe he's not seeing it in practice, if it's just not, you know, resonating on the field. I don't know, but I don't know why he's not getting that burn. I would like to see him out there getting some play time. You know, like, what more damage can we do?
Yeah, well, I think he'd be good in the nickel. I think not even have to play safety, play him in the nickel, so then you can really use Jalen Ramsey to take away their best option, and then you can use, you know, Terrell Burgess in that kind of star role and move him around where that money rolling dime package is. But, you know, at some point too, we can sit here and say all we want and see the, you know, play the hypotheticals and play the, you know, hindsight's 2020 after the game. You have to have a little trust that they see more than we do in practice, and there's a reason for it. But at this point, after last night's performance, I think we're allowed to be critical on what's going on that side of the field. Last thing about the defense, and, you know, the secondary obviously has issues with what they gave up with Debo, but the big thing was the rush defense. And when you have players like Aaron Donald, you get Von Miller, who was his first game, so we kind of have to throw that out. Still get him acclimated, but you have these great players and they just get gashed play after play after play by the run game. Like, you know, it was coming. You can sit there. These guys are a lot smarter than we are, and they had to know the run is coming 9 out of 10 times, and they just could do nothing to stop it. So my question for you, Brittany, is A, how big of a loss did that show that Sebastian Joseph Day was, who's on the IR now, because he's a big part of that middle of the defense, and B, how do you think they can actually fix that moving forward? Because that's going to be a huge issue that teams are going to look at to try to exploit.
Man, I think that SJD was a huge loss. I mean, you know, not just for the morale of the defense, just knowing that he's not going to be there for the rest of the season to help us stop the run. It's hard, you know, bringing in Vaughn. I think that that definitely it boosts some things, but you have to understand, like, he has to learn, you know, he has to basically fit into our defense now. Is it the same system? Is it like that, the 3-4?
It's very similar, yeah. From Vic Fangio's system, Staley's very similar. Yeah, so he should have, yeah, it'll be similar, but it's still going to take time. It's new teammates. Like, you don't know the tendencies of what, like, he's running
exactly
in Denver. He's running next to Shelby Harris every single snap. Like, he knows what Shelby does, his tendencies. Now he's going with, whether it's Aaron Donald or whether it's Greg Gaines or someone else. Like, he doesn't know exactly what they do each play. So that's the bigger thing for Vaughn. It's not necessarily the scheme, but it's the guy next to him, what he does. So it'll take time.
It'll take time. Yeah, exactly. So I think that, you know, moving forward, this team is, I think that we're more than capable of being that shutout defense. We were a great defense last week against the Titans. I mean, you know, obviously they didn't have Derrick Henry, but, you know, they moved the ball pretty nicely. Adrian Peterson had some fresh legs that, you know, they got going. And against teams that have, you know, really good running backs, we do pretty well at stopping the run. Like, you know, we held Jonathan Taylor. I can't remember, but I think it was like less than 6 yards a carry. But, you know, when it's time to do that, we do it. But it is just something about this Niners team. They know to run the ball down our throat, and they know how to just hit us where it hurts. And I think that all it does was just, it just made Sean McVay more frustrated. Take the bye week, get over it, regroup. And yeah, we got Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, right. That should be fun. So, well, that's a good way to put a bow on it. So, tough loss, Rams fans, but let's move on. You know, we got the bye week to get things right, and then we have the Packers, which should be another good test, another fun game. That is a team that knocked us out of the playoffs last year. So, a lot right in there. But before we go, Brittany, we got to announce you are. I'm super excited about this, but you are joining the LA Football Network with your own show. It's going to be the LA, you know, football kind of. Recap show, if you will. We're kind of have short little segments covering each team each week, breaking down the latest news and whatnot. So we're super thrilled to have you on the network. I know you're going to do a great job, but just tell everyone kind of what your thoughts and vision are, and kind of why you want to do this.
Oh, thanks, guys. I'm so excited. So I'm born and raised in LA. I love all things Los Angeles. I love all things football. So I am looking forward to talking football, college, and pro. So we got Rams, Chargers, Trojans, Bruins, just giving people that little recap, bringing them that info, bringing them what's, I guess, you know, fresh info from the LA streets, and also talking some bets.
Yes. Yeah. Be plenty of betting information too, because you do great on that. And I'm going to be listening to that every week just so I can win some extra money for myself. So, but Brittany, thank you so much for joining me and helping recap this game. And we're super excited to welcome you to the LA football family, and can't wait to see how your show does. I know it's going to thrive and do great. So thanks for joining us, and hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having me. You as well. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.